Hi, I'm Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
living la vida loca.
Consentimiento.
Wow,
so much passion.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kesho, kesho, kesho.
We are here, we are queer, and we're eating Russian food.
Take that, Putino.
And we have two very special guests today. My dear friend, our dear friends, I should say. Sorry, they're some of our best buddies. Christy is here.
Hi.
And Jennifer here.
Hello.
Bienvenidas, welcome.
And you might remember Christy from her glorious listener letter from our signed, sealed, and read to filth episode where she called out Babelito for saying...
She called me out.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're not going to get into it, but...
I'm the house Asian.
Our Korean-American friend, Christy Lee, is here. And Jennifer Clevin, who we have... given credit to many times on the show for giving us the name Latinos Who Lunch, because
that's right,
we were like for like a week trying to figure out what the hell are we going to call this podcast, and Jen was
and
like,
then boom, I was like, Latinos Who Lunch, done.
She's like, you guys are always eating, you might as well.
I remember you like, so what, like Latinos Who Lunch? We're like, what?
Okay, so let's talk about this food we just ate. What'd you think, Christy?
Dios mío.
I have a little cold, but I still think everything was really good. We had some sauerkraut stuff? Or coleslaw?
Russian coleslaw. Okay, so this is what happened. I went to the grocery store, and I tried to always try new places and support local businesses, correct?
Hallelujah, man.
And there's this place called... Tina's Sausage House. So
and you're like,
duh.
I'm gonna
I can't believe you haven't been there already.
Christy lives there.
I'm there all the time. I'm a single lady.
But it was mostly Eastern European food. And so I got some Russian coleslaw, some smoked fish.
All this food is like the rock. It's like its
cabbage.
Nationality is so ambiguous. I don't know
cabbage
if it's...
rolls.
That's why I called it Pan Europe earlier.
Yeah, Pan Europe. And then there was a Mediterranean restaurant next door to that. So I got some hummus and
grape leaves,
some rice. It's a very good meal, I think.
Tasty.
The smoked fish is a little...
Unnerving, really.
I like
Jen and
very
I,
shiny.
Yeah, Jen and I didn't want to touch it.
Well, I kind of wanted to touch it, but I didn't want to eat it.
Well, I can smell it, that's for sure. Can you move it away from us, please? Thank you.
No, why did you get so much?
Okay, because there was a very beautiful Russian woman helping me. And she just kept giving me samples, and the samples were huge. Like, and so anything that she gave me a sample of, I bought. And I was just like, yes, just give me a pound of that. And after I said it, I was like, it's $20 for a pound of that shit. So I'm about to be eating smoked fish for a while. But anyways.
So it's very exciting to have you guys here, because you guys have been talking about this episode for a little bit, and I'm so excited to hear all about it. So, Justin, tell us a little bit about why you invited this beautiful lady.
Because the other day we were sitting around talking, and we were talking about how skinny people don't have the same challenges that bigger people do.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having the best conversation. I was dying laughing about people not knowing the struggles of like stretching out a t-shirt before you put it on.
Gosh. A lot of skinny people have no clue what you're talking about. And some people listening right now are like, what are they talking about, stretching out a t-shirt over their knees? What?
That was high school for me, girl. Like, I was like, I refuse. for a while, I was like, I'm not going to get a double X. I'm going to stretch this XL, right? And now it's like double X world for me. But and also tying it, so we did an episode on health. If you go back to episode 22, I believe, I talked about kind of my struggles with weight growing up and just how I just wanted to be open about being overweight now, because for a lot of people, not even in America, across all cultures, it's very shameful to even talk about it or mention it, right? You're supposed to kind of be quiet about it. And it's also kind of looked down upon for you to be comfortable being a bigger person.
Yeah, you're always supposed to be trying to eat healthy or dieting or
trying to lose
aware
weight
of how large you are. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I decided that I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm not gonna feel bad about myself. I've accepted the body that I'm in, and I'm gonna love myself. And I think that's gonna change. That's just gonna change. It's gonna make me a healthier person because I'm not gonna feel guilty for what I eat anymore. And I already feel it. I already feel healthier. I'm already taking better steps. I mean, the last few days have been awful, but but I needed a drink.
It's the freaking weekend. You don't have yourself some fun.
But you know what? When you said that in the episode, it resonated with a lot of people because we've been getting emails, we've been getting messages in social media where people appreciate that statement when you said, I'm not gonna pretend anymore. Like, this is who I am, this is my body, and I'm going to accept myself and stop like talking bullshit around it. And that was something that really, again, people really responded to that. So it's a great idea to continue that conversation, but bringing outsider perspective.
Yeah, and Christy, Jen, and I have been friends forever. And
okay, let's start over there.
Yeah, let's.
How do you guys met, and what happened?
We all met in school at UNLV.
Yeah, through friends of friends.
And I met Justin. Yeah, through friends of friends, taking art classes at UNLV. I think I actually met him at the bar Cheers, which is no longer open.
I met you at Starbucks.
Oh, okay. So you met me at Starbucks where I was a barista.
That's where I met you too.
Oh. See? I'm sure I met you there too, Babalito.
See, corporations bringing people together.
That's where I gave lots of free frappuccinos to my friends.
I remember getting a
delicious
caramel frappuccino from you,
like every day.
Caramel.
And I just said to Jen one day, I was like, "Hey, I want to be your friend."
And she said, "You got it, baby."
That's exactly right.
Just like that.
Yeah, and
that's magical.
And Jen went out to like have a smoke break. That's when
I no longer smoke.
Yes.
Health as well.
Yay, Jen.
Felicidades.
Dumbledore golf claps to Jen. And and ever since then, we just kind of started hanging out, and we were both in the art department, and the rest is history. And then Christy, I think you got a minor in art history, correct?
No.
Shit.
No, just a history degree.
History.
But I took a couple art history classes. And my friend Autumn had summer classes with Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and then I met Jen when she was working at Starbucks.
But I think I met you at Savers. I like have a vivid memory.
We went to Savers. And then I saw you again because we were like buying stuff. And I bought some shoes. And I felt like I already knew you when we were at Savers. And then I met Favi at
Champagne's. I will never forget that night. Now that I did forget, but now I remember. I heard Christy's voice from across the bar, and I was like, "Who the fuck is that Valley girl?" Like, because you were talking to Autumn or somebody, and I was like, "That voice,
yeah.
Oh my god, it's so unique, so distinct.
Voice of an angel.
The voice, yeah.
Through all the dive bar noises, through the karaoke and." Oh. My voice.
I heard you. Yeah. And then we sat and like talked to each other for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That was Champagne's, man. Champagne's Cafe.
That was a nasty bar, but we loved it.
We loved
it. Still there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's probably still nasty.
I haven't been there in several years, but
me too.
But that's where Fabi and I met. And then Jen and I met Babalito through Fabi.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I'm sure in some opening.
Even though I'm pretty sure that we went to high school together, but you graduated before me because I went to Silverado.
You did?
Yeah. Because my sister, I feel like I remember seeing you with her.
Who's your sister?
But I don't think you remember her. Stephanie Clevin.
God, high school was a fucking blur
Nicole,
for me.
That's why.
Oh,
but that's
probably,
how we met, actually. Yes. Was through Nicole.
Yes.
At a Chemo and Lane thing.
No, it actually, no, we met outside of the Arts Factory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you had your gallery.
Yes. Yes. Okay, outside of Emergency Arts.
Yes, I remember. Okay.
Yeah, so Jen had an art gallery for a little while downtown, Clevin Contemporary. That was awesome.
It was really great.
And yeah, just we've all kind of worked together over the years on in different capacities. And we all work out together too. That's another thing that's
we
really
drink
awesome.
Together.
We all
smoke.
Drink together. We all smoke together.
I don't
many
smoke
parties.
Cigarettes.
Except Christy. Christy's very, she's on the straight and narrow. She doesn't drink that much either. You're very good. But we've, but we've all, I don't know. I don't want to say we've all struggled with weight issues, but we've all talked about it before.
Oh, yeah.
So I just thought it would be fun to have both of you on because, first of all, you're hilarious. And
thank you.
You're welcome. I just wanted to be very serious when I said that. And just I love having open conversations with you guys. And maybe I don't know if we're gonna learn anything from today's conversation, but I just like I said, I wanna just, you know, have a podcast where we talk about these issues, and that's what we're doing.
So let's do it in age stages. Like, let's start with
Jesus.
Yes.
Well, I'll yes. say too, it was mind opening when you both told me that you went and had like metabolism or thyroid testing when you were little. Because my mom took me to do that, and I really thought I was like the only kid that went and did that.
Yeah.
And when you both said, "Oh no, my parents took me to do that too," but nobody else that we were with said that they were taken to have that done. I was like, oh, so this is a thing.
Yeah.
In the 80s, if you were a chunky kid, your parents were like, oh, they must have a thyroid. They must have an underdeveloped thyroid. We'll get
like,
them on medicine.
Like it's something so unacceptable.
Right. And I think it's also because like my siblings were smaller than me.
Yeah, like everyone in my family is like typical, like when you think of a typical Korean figure or body, like my mom is very petite and slender, my sister's very petite and slender, and my dad is not overweight. I'm literally the only overweight person in my entire family, from all my cousins to my aunts and uncles. And so I don't think I ever had that thyroid test, but I remember going to a pediatrician when I was little just for like a checkup, and she was told my parents, I was really young, I was like in elementary school, like early elementary, and she told my parents, oh, just look at her bones, she's big bone, she's always gonna be big.
a doctor that was science.
Damn. Yeah, like I was maybe 6 or 7
Trump
and they're
University.
Like she's like, she's always gonna be big. And I went to Korean school, so like a lot of Korean Americans, like on Saturday at the church I went to, we had to go like learn Korean, and then on Sunday we actually went to like Sunday school and Sunday church, and we had like festivals or performances associated with doing that. And I remember when I was 6, I had to get a costume that was way bigger than the other girls in my grade. No one made a big deal out of it, but they just couldn't find my size either. So it's like they're like, "Oh, we'll find someone's costume. Maybe someone who's like 10 or something."
Yeah. Ugh. Same thing. Well, I remember going to the doctor, like I said, and I remember distinctly the doctor saying he's only allowed to eat 2 tortillas a day. Just
no
2 tortillas a day.
Way.
So then I became obsessed like with getting away with eating more than 2 tortillas because I knew that was my limit. And I think that's when my kind of weird like secret eating happened, because I wasn't allowed to just like eat whatever. And I didn't even eat more than 2 tortillas a day,
right.
I think. But that was just like the doctor hearing was that, like, yeah. The doctor yeah. was, he was a white doctor too, but he's like, oh yeah, don't let him eat too many tortillas. You know? Yeah.
did he say anything about rice or bread?
No, no.
Or fat or sugar?
Nope.
Tortillas. Just tortillas.
Can you imagine?
Or being like, add more vegetables.
No. And I had a similar situation happen when my tia Lulu got married, my aunt Lulu. Mm-hmm. I was the ring bearer in the wedding, and I was like 7 years old, and the kids' suits wouldn't fit me. So they put an adult suit jacket on me, and it was so long mm-hmm. on me. I just remember looking fucking ridiculous. I mean, it was the 90s, so it was kind of in to have a giant, yeah. to, you know, have the giant, like,
the Chandler.
Johnny Cochran suit on, but it was super embarrassing because the other kids in the wedding looked, their suits looked cute and small, and I just had this giant fucking jacket on, and I was like, well, I guess this is my life from now on.
I remember going swimming with my cousins who are like super thin. They were like gymnasts when we were younger.
Yeah.
At their grandma's house, and I didn't have a swimsuit. And of course, none of their swimsuits would fit me. So I had to wear their grandma's. And I was like 10.
Oh,
I
know. Shit.
I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go swimming anyways.
Yeah. At least you still went swimming. You didn't let it hold you back. Yeah. Growing up, my mom and dad, they're just really thrifty, like very stereotypical, like, you know, new immigrant, mm-hmm. like have no money. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize this till I was older, but like growing up, my mom always bought me like really big clothes, and she bought me elastic band like shorts, and like they weren't sweatpants, but you know what I mean, like, because we grew up in the 90s, so it's like those cotton, just they're like gym
people
shorts
still wear those.
Kind of.
They don't look good.
Yeah, they're like gym shorts kind of, but a little longer. She bought me those and like pants that were like that, and I was always like, oh, can I get jeans? And she's like, they don't come in your size, like jeans don't fit you. But it's because she just wanted me to like grow into the elastic, like if you buy fitted jeans,
right, you have to buy new
ones. You have to buy new ones like every 6 to however fast you're growing. But she
sacrificed your fashion, girl.
Girl,
that's okay.
That's what you draw the line.
She dressed me really.
That's why you look so good now.
She really dressed me badly when I was. Not that she was thinking. I don't think she meant to dress me badly, but I just wore elastic band shorts and like big t-shirts.
Oh, big t-shirts saved my life when I was little.
But she's always like, no, you can't get that. Get two sizes bigger. You're growing, and you don't want your clothes to be. Till this day, my mom's always like, isn't that a little tight? Are you comfortable in that? Puta. You need to be able to be comfortable. And I'm always like, I'm good. I'm not a 65-year-old lady like you, okay?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Dress yourself now, mama. Okay. I'm a grown-up.
Okay. But yeah, my mom bought me elastic band clothes when I was little all the time.
I know. I wanted like the Guess jean shorts. They did not come in my size when I was little. So I don't even remember like what kind of clothes I wore, but I probably wore something similar, just like elastic terry cloth shorts or pants.
Those lycra.
But I just don't remember wearing jeans until I was in junior high.
Yeah, me
somehow
too.
Somehow I lost some weight.
Somehow, miraculously, they made things our size.
Straight up, I will tell you, I don't know why, but my parents let me take these like, they weren't diet pills, but they were definitely metabolism boosters.
Speed.
In the sixth grade, and then I was playing basketball, like intramurals, and all of a sudden I lost weight really fast. And I look back at photos of myself, and I look so weird also because I had tons of braces.
Uh-huh.
But I could fit into regular clothes. I was like a size 10.
Yeah.
And so it was great. I finally wore regular clothes, then I just steadily
gained it back.
Gained. I.
So wait,
yeah,
she just, they gave them the pill? Like, how did it work?
It was like our neighbor was telling my mom about them. And so they're like, yeah, go ahead and try them. And I just remember, I think I took them like a couple months, but in those couple months, I was also playing a lot of basketball, but damn, I dropped weight so fast. I remember I finally got to shop at Charlotte Russe. It was crazy. Gross. I had like lime green bell bottom corduroys that were my dream come true with a hang ten shirt.
You're like, I look so good.
I did look good too. I mean, excuse me, I still look good.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and I think a thing to note, I don't know about you guys, but I was like 8.5 pounds. Like, I was born heavy and I'm still heavy till this day. So it's like, you know how you like meet people and they're like, I just gained weight because I stopped playing sports, or like, oh, I gained weight after I had a baby. I'm like, bitch, you ain't been fat your whole life like I have, okay? Like, I'm like, just go to the gym. Like, but for me, I'm like, I had to like go to the gym, I had to like weigh my food and like meal prep and like watch what I eat and like write down what I eat. It's like very consuming. Like, I can't just I can't just lose weight by like kind of like, I can, but it's like it takes way longer.
I remember when I met you when we went to the first concert, we talked about that.
Yeah, I was like eating 1200 calories.
Yes, it was so strict.
1200 calories.
Like a cup of broccoli and chicken like breast.
Low fat, high protein. The only like carbs I was eating was like sweet potato, like half of a sweet potato, or it was like a choice of these three, like half a cup of cooked quinoa, half a cup of brown rice.
That's not life.
Half a sweet potato. Everybody's like, and then like I was eating like egg whites and like sauteed vegetables. And the thing is like, I love all food, so like it wasn't the worst for me, but it's just like very regimented and very like boring after a while. And since I like love food, it's like I get tired of it.
But she was also doing a crazy, crazy workout. Like, I went to it with her one time, and I'm not lying, it took me a solid 30 minutes at the end of class standing outside just to like get my bearings. Yeah, because my brain was all discombobulated from being so sweaty.
But
and, like,
Jen's a trooper.
Overworked.
Some people have like vomited in those classes.
What kind of classes were they like?
They were boot camp classes. They're like different workouts every day, and they're high intensity interval training. So it's like for 60 seconds you're doing burpees, 60 seconds you're doing like jumping jacks, then you're like running laps, then you're like doing squats and lunges and all this stuff.
I hate how they promote those classes, because that is so many people who haven't exercised are prone to injuries.
Right.
And then, and if you don't follow them, like, so what? It's so fucking dangerous. And and it's like a craze. You see them all over Mexico, those like those high intensity. It's like a thing right now.
And it worked.
Yeah. In the place I went to, there's not good. There's people of all sizes at the place I went to, and they made modifications for people. It wasn't like, and that's kind of why I like working out there, because there could be someone who is like 400 pounds and then there's someone who's like a fitness model and everything in between. So like people were working out at their level. So that's why I like working out there. I could never work out somewhere where it's just like all fitness models. I'd be like, why am I here?
And I think that's another thing that pushes a lot of people outside of those spaces.
Yeah,
like I feel so fucking uncomfortable. I have a gym membership and I won't go because I will feel uncomfortable about exercising.
Yeah,
because it's just you go and you see that, and I just like automatically feel bad.
No, I just want to say that Jen, you were the first person that encouraged me to take fitness classes.
Oh yeah.
Jen and I used to go do Zumba.
I still love Zumba.
At an Herbalife Center.
Herbalife Zumba is still the hardest Zumba I've ever done.
Yeah. Because there's 100 people in like a 50 square foot room.
Did you go with us once?
Yeah, Christy went too.
So my aunt used to go to this, a shout out to the Herbalife on Bonanza and Nellis. And
are you part of the
we would pay $6 to take the class, and then we would get a free
get
a free Herbalife shake.
And then you get a tea in the beginning and a shake at the end. It was
that's
worth
a
it.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta do that.
And I always got pineapple and cookies. that was piña and cookies mix.
Cookies.
Yeah, that was my favorite Herbalife. And that's hard. When we started taking classes, and I said, you know what, this the first time we did it, I just turned to Jen and I was like, that was the most terrifying, most embarrassing, humiliating thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy I did it.
You did it, yeah.
And now, I mean, last year we would go to Mixed Fit almost every other week or whatever.
That was fun.
You just wait till my foot's back better. I'm going to be up in there.
We got to do it Mixed again.
Fit is the, if you guys don't know what Mixed Fit is.
I'm going to be working.
It's like a light, hip-hop light dance class. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, the intensity is similar to Zumba, but it doesn't have, like, I guess the Latin flair. It's like the urban.
But it has the twerking.
It's the urban. A lot of twerking. Urban Zumba. Yeah.
When we were doing it, my back was hurting.
I remember you threw your back out or something. Too many twerks.
My back hurt, and then we kept going, and it kept getting worse and worse. But ask me if I stopped. It was so much fun.
That was something to me that's so frustrating. Like, I get into a routine of working out because I do really like going to Zumba and Mixed Fit. Yeah. I don't want to go walk on a treadmill or lift weights.
Yeah, I won't do that anymore because you changed my whole perspective on going to the gym. I'm like,
isn't it fun?
It's fun. Yeah. You're with other people. You're also like doing choreography, so
your brain goes faster.
It's encouraging.
I always get hurt. Like somehow, I'll squat wrong and then I hurt my knee or I hurt my foot and then I'm out for a month. And so it's hard to get back into the routine.
Motivate yourself.
I just need to go less hard. Not so ham. You know?
That's a really good point because when it comes to, let's say you have an exercise of your life and all of a sudden in your late 20s and 30s decide to do this because that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I was so fucking lucky that my cousin was a trainer. Shout out to Anna.
Oh, yeah.
And she taught me all these moves and things that you see in TV that people are exercising in the gym. And you're like, oh, I can do that. You can, again, get hurt so easily. And I think that happens to a lot of people. Yeah. They're like, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. I'm going to get my membership for 20 years. Yeah. And then you go the first day and then you're super sore.
Yeah.
And you can, because you need to first learn how to move your body and then start getting into it. And
listening to your body. I think that's really important.
So like when your back was hurting from all that twerking.
I didn't care.
Should have stayed out that
way. If they would have stopped playing that song, I would have stopped going. My back. Anyway.
We got to get back in there.
Shout out to Chris Leilani. Is that her name? Yeah.
Yes.
She's my favorite instructor.
She's so good.
She's so awesome.
Yeah. I'm like a terrible dancer and I still like those classes. Like that's thing. Shabam. I'm not embarrassed of going to group fitness classes.
When we all did Shabam.
That is phased out.
Give me life.
Shabam is phased out. It's a waste of everyone's time.
It's like Richard Simmons Light.
That is exactly it. Yeah.
It was
45 minutes of Richard Simmons Light.
Yeah, and we went with like one of our friends. Really, we won't name this person, but this person kept going like backwards and like
he kept going the wrong way.
Yeah, like when the instructor, like he didn't understand mirroring, like the instructor, so he's like going like right instead of left and the whole time, and I was like, why is he not getting it? But I was like, see, that's why this is gonna sound so bad. That's why I've never been self-conscious about going to group fitness classes is because I know there'll always be someone worse than me there.
That's true.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I want to go back to maybe put a cap on the, you know, growing up fat kind of thing. Like, I remember maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I finally had to tell my mom, like, Mom, I don't want to talk to you about my weight anymore. And that was something that was very empowering and really like, I could see like there was a glitch in the matrix when that happened. Like my mom was like, this is like, she short circuited.
But why do you have to have that conversation with her?
Because that my mom can talk to me about is my health and my weight. Like the first thing that would happen when I would walk into her house was she would look me up and down and tell me, like if I look good, if I had lost weight,
or
like
if you gained weight,
because she's like, I know, Krista, you listen to Mark Maron's podcast a lot, and something that he said that is his relationship with his mother, and how his mother saw him as an extension of her fat and her issues, and that's exactly what's happening with my mom. So when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, this is it. And I was watching a lot of the Caesar Milan Dog Whisperer. So I was like, I'm not going to reinforce these behaviors anymore. Right. So I went to, I'm serious. I went to my mom's house and I said, Mom, I'm going to visit you now, but under my rules, right? If you mention what I look like and my weight, I'm leaving. So for like half of a year, I would walk into my mom's house, be there for not even 5 minutes, and then I would leave.
Adios. Oh,
bye. So I was like, if you want me to visit you and be a part of your life, we have to try to talk. And my mom, the hardest thing for me and my mom was to figure out something else to talk about, because we didn't talk about anything else.
Geez.
So it's like we were getting to know each other for the first time, because like that's all my mom could focus on.
That takes some balls, man.
Yeah, because I was over it. I was sick of it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like I told you before, like I'm we're all in our 30s, and I just want to be around people that I love and people that make me feel good. And I think that is going to be reflected in your health also. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, just like we're having these open conversations, I feel like now as people in our 30s, I see us already making healthier choices. Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I think, like Favi and I have like, where our parents were more critical about our weight. I don't know about like Babalito and Jen. Mm-hmm. Did your parents ever make comments?
My mom took me to have the testing done, so it's not as if she didn't see that I was overweight as a child, but she would make comments like, maybe you don't need an extra helping. Mm-hmm. And then like I had a friend in junior high who was quite wealthy, and her mom sent her to fat camp over the summer, and she lost weight.
I always wished I could.
Me too. What a dream.
So
what
a dream. My mom was thinking about those kinds of things. But whether she thought about it or not, she didn't vocalize it as much as it sounds like your parents did. But it was something like, if she ever did say, maybe you don't need another order of that, I'd be like, Mom, why are you always paying attention to what I'm eating? Then now I realize it's because she's my mom. That's what she's supposed to do.
And I think my parents, I mean, I was chubby when I was a kid. But my dad was always took pride on putting food on the table. Mm. So whenever it's like, no, like don't eat that 6 tacos. Because when I was like 10, I would eat like 6, 7, 8 tacos. Like I would just go,
Taco Tuesday.
And I remember my dad being like, déjalo, like let him eat. Like my dad would like, he would be proud of that. Yeah. So it was never an issue. But also because I had, I have the beginning of tuberculosis.
Oh,
Since I was born, I was in a, ¿cómo se dice? Incubadora?
Incubator.
Yeah. When I was born. I will get sick, and I think my parents were afraid that I was gonna die.
Oh yeah.
So that took priority over anything else.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of interesting, like how you talked about how your dad was like proud of the food he could provide you. I feel like with a lot of families, like that's like a point of pride that you have the abundance of food. Like maybe in the culture or where they like. My parents were very poor when they like lived in South Korea. So like, I think that they could have like all this food and abundance of food was really important to them. So it's like this struggle always of like, oh, we live in America now. We can buy groceries and all these things. But then like, oh, Christy's overweight. So like we need to like watch what she eats. And like my parents are also very health conscious. Like my parents have been juicing since like, I think like since I've had a memory. So
Jack
like,
LaLanne.
Yeah. But no, they buy really expensive.
98.
They buy expensive juicers, like those $500 juicers that are like cold.
The masticating ones.
Yeah. The masticating cold press ones.
Oh my God.
And they've been doing that since like the late 80s, early 90s. And like, so they just, I don't know. They're very practical, and they think in very like black and white terms, like food. It's not just that food is only for health, because obviously there's like the importance of like food is celebration and culture, So it's like a mix. So sometimes they're like very like, oh, we're going to have this soup because it's the new year and we're going to have these things that are like really delicious. But then like they juice every day and they like don't eat red meat regularly. Yeah. And they like they're really crazy. <Yeah. laughs>
My mom's side of the family is sort of like that. My mom's from Taiwan.
Yeah.
But not to that extreme. They don't juice, but they were definitely the side of family. Not that they looked down on me, but they would point out more that I was larger than my cousins. Like my grandpa's nickname for me is Det Dua, which means little piglet. Oh. And to this day, he still calls me Det Dua. Oh, and then whenever if I lose a little bit of weight, he'll look at me and he'll always like grab my shoulders really hard. And he's like, you look good.
You're like, okay.
But my dad's side of the family is from Montana and they're Scandinavian. And so not that they're not heavy set, but they're like,
built tough.
All big people. They're all in their 6 foot. Yeah. It's not that I wasn't out of the ordinary in that side of the family. So nobody pointed it out.
Yeah. I've always been the biggest.
No, and that's the thing. That's the thing. So now moving on, like, now I'm now that I realize like how fucked up our childhoods were, or mine anyways, like now I have all these tools to combat that, right?
Yeah. Or
to change that.
To make different choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we always fall back to the bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
preach.
And you know, sometimes I will start losing weight.
Yeah.
This is something I'm just gonna say this, and I know it sounds so stupid.
Say it.
But this is for all my friends. If I'm losing weight, don't tell me that I'm losing weight. I don't want to know that you can see a difference. Because as soon as somebody tells me like, wow, you look good, you've been losing weight, I immediately go into like binge eating mode because I don't want that attention on me.
Yeah.
Like, and just it's because it's like, it's such a weird thing because it's positive attention. It's still attention about my weight. And I don't want anybody to notice it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've just noticed that that's what I do. Like I got back from Denver and Crystal was like, wow, you lost weight. I was like, oh yeah, probably. Cause I didn't eat that much while
it's
I was out there.
It's all your fault, Crystal.
And as soon as I got back, I went and got some fried chicken, you know, like I had to.
No, I,
but that's a thing that I developed from like, to spite my mother, like I'd be like, oh, I'm losing weight, I'm gonna piss my mom off and just eat all day, like, you know, it's so fucked up.
Or got her back.
Look at me now, I'm about to die.
You're like,
Mama, I'm gonna die before you. I got you
in front of you.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, it's
that's so fucked up. Anyway, Christy, go ahead.
I have yo-yo dieted, like, not with the intent to be a yo-yo dieter, but that's just how it goes.
You're the Korean American Oprah.
I know. Man, I need to get on that Weight Watchers money like Oprah.
You love bread.
I do love bread. I do, Oprah.
I look back at photos of myself from college and I was like, damn, I looked good.
You were doing a lot of yoga in college,
I was.
I remember.
And so I just want to point out that you guys poo-pooed on yoga.
We no.
You poo-pooed a little.
No.
We poo-pooed on people that are so extra about yoga. Like, we don't want to see
like
you
wear the third eye. Like,
and
like
maybe that's
ornament,
what they're,
okay, but they're like
your forehead,
that. But then on like the weekends, they're all getting wasted and like drinking like bottles of like alcohol. You're like, oh, are you harnessing your chi right now? Like, what are you doing?
This is all going to my chi.
No, like Jennifer, like I'm not saying you were a proud, I don't know, call it yogi. Right?
I wasn't a yogi.
But you went to yoga every week.
Yeah, I was
numerous
going
times.
Really, really regularly.
Yeah.
And I was like melting weight away.
Yeah.
But it also
it
mentally.
Feels good.
But mentally,
yeah,
yoga
it's
like
really
right.
made my brain right. Because I just was in a bad place. But like yoga really like snapped me back into like the right mindset. But also movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing yourself lose weight makes you want to continue to do things.
Yeah.
But when you said like you look back on those pictures and you're like, oh, I look good. But do you remember how you felt back then? Like, do you?
I felt full of cigarette smoke. Mm. But, you know, and I did feel good. But And I have a fiance and we've been together for 7 years. And within those 7 years, you're with somebody that you're so comfortable with, and you just, I don't want to say you let yourself go, but you get so comfortable, and we both love going out to eat and trying new cuisines. We also both love cooking. So a lot of our fun times is around eating.
Yeah.
And we also, we cycle and stuff, but we cycle to a restaurant and then have Thai food and then we bike back home.
Okay. This is something that I wanted to touch on too, yeah. is like as bigger people, especially with you and Christy, I'm just going to say it. Yeah. We enable each other sometimes.
Oh my God.
Yes. I'm having a flashback right now of when Jen still lived with her parents when she was in college. And we were just
looking
at each other.
Shout out to David and Sharina.
Sharita, how you doing, girl?
I remember looking at Jen and like, hey, what are you doing later? Jen's like, I don't know. You want to order a pizza and eat it on my bed? And we're like, yeah.
We would
order a Little Caesars $5 pizza.
Oh, that's
and it's like, watch TV in bed and eat pizza.
I think we were watching food shows, too.
And we were watching the food
dang. I know you people awesome out there though. Do the same thing. I know you do.
Okay, so
we are enablers.
We enable each other. Well, we did for years, but I think now we're a little bit more conscious, especially because we're getting older, and there's a lot of people in our lives who've had medical complications recently, and I mean, every day.
And like, we are in our 30s.
And like, it's gonna be like,
and my feet so always hurt.
Growing up, my mom and dad were always like, we worry about your weight not because of how you look. Yeah, right. Yeah. But because of your health.
Yeah.
Your health. We don't want you to have diabetes mm-hmm. and high blood pressure and have a stroke and all this stuff. And I'm like, what the heck? And like, I am... You know, even though I am overweight, like, I think my BMI technically is, like, medically obese or something. Like,
yeah.
And my waist circumference is in, like, the way fat zone. It's that's a medical term. Way fat zone. Like... My blood work has always been really good. Like, other than I had, like, a couple years ago, like, a little small imbalance with my thyroid. But my doctor's like, oh, with women, like, one out of three women at one time in their life have a thyroid issue. Mm-hmm. It's, like, environmental. I took medicine for, like, a year, and it's been fine. But otherwise, I've had perfect blood sugar levels, perfect cholesterol. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have any, like, weight related like medical issues mm-hmm. and I tell my like mom that thinking she'll be like accepting excited and relieved and uh-huh. she never is. And I was talking to my sister about it recently and I was like, yeah, you know, I just got my blood work and I was nervous since my thyroid was kind of weird that couple years ago, but it was like perfect, everything was perfect. And mom wasn't excited and my sister's like, you know, it's because even though she says it's about your health, which part of it is, it's also because like they're superficial people from a superficial society. So it's because of how you look too.
Yeah.
So just like accept that. And my sister's really skinny and she's always been my best advocate. And I was like, yeah, you're right. It's not just about my health. It's also about how I look. And so I shouldn't need to seek that kind of like reassurance or that from my parents.
Yeah.
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 So I'm big and I'm healthy.
Okay.
And owning
big
it.
And
Gordita
healthy.
Supreme.
Okay. You don't know my blood work. You don't know my body. Okay.
You don't know my blood's been
well,
through.
Well, that's why sometimes I know people have looked at me and they're like, oh, that girl's just fat. And I'm like, bitch, I am very strong. I can probably outrun you.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you run marathons.
I can do the splits. And maybe I'm not as strong as I was when I was doing my boot camp classes, which I would like to get back to. I'm trying to think of more of like my strength and my flexibility and not mm-hmm. being like small, like not like working out to be a certain size. Like I went hiking recently, like in Honolulu up Diamond Head Peak, and thank God I went by myself, because I was huffing and puffing and sweating. And I was like, see, this is why I want to work out again. Yeah. Not so I like, of course, I want to like fit in my old clothes too, but I would rather be able to go up the mountain, like not and feel good. And
yes. Yeah. That's exactly it too. Like, yeah. And like I was talking to Babelito about it before, like, a lot of my artwork now has changed where it's physical labor now. Me going to spaces and making installations and like me working 8 hours a day doing the same movements over and over took a toll on my body when I was doing this recent installation. And I was like, oh shit. Like now this is true motivation for me to work out, is because it's for my job. Like I need to be able to do this job without feeling like I was beat up every day, right, from going to work. So I'm taking my physical health a little bit more seriously now, because I want to have more stamina when it comes to
an endurance.
Thank you.
Yeah.
During and stamina, but that's because I'm the 30s is going to be my hoe phase. Y'all watch. I can't wait. It's already been a great year.
We're going to report on this.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, they call
cash me outside.
Dirty 30s.
In the alley, huh?
Dirty 30s. That's what they call them.
It's going to be so dirty. I can't wait. It's going to be disgusting. But I think
the undercurrent that we've been talking about here, it's understanding.
Finish laughing. Sorry. It's going to smell really bad. I can't wait. Anyway, go ahead.
Come on.
I'm just making it worse.
Understanding. What do you want?
I just want some tea.
Understanding learning to listen to your body. Because what you were saying in the doctor, the BMI, this and that, sometimes I feel like that's bullshit. There's so many fucking variables that they don't take into consideration. It's like when you go into plastic surgery, everything, all of that is based on like one culture that they decided what's supposed to be beautiful, and that's the fucking Greeks.
Oh,
fuck you, Greeks. Not today. I mean, back in the day.
And just grape leaves, fool.
I said back in the day. I said ancient Greeks. That's what I meant. Ancient Greeks.
Oh, okay.
And they establish the parameters of beauty, and we have to follow them, like the whole entire fucking world.
You know, that is so true. When I took my first art history class, it was Survey 1, and when I saw that Venus of Willendorf, I was like, shit, I look like her. Hey. I am beautiful.
No matter
and
what
that's
say,
that's
I'm Neolithic beautiful.
When I do my beginning art classes, that's the first thing I said.
Yeah.
I said, one of the things that you're going to hear me or I'm going to try not to do or say is there something is beautiful. Right. Why? Because if something is beautiful in this class that these fucking Europeans gave us, that means that the opposite is out there, and that's supposed to be ugly, or like the rest of the world cultures are supposed to be ugly. And I see that in the way that, again, I don't know medical terms, I don't know the medical field, but sometimes I feel that those are based on some of those Western ideas, and they don't take into consideration all cultures, our diets, and bodies change across the world, and kind of shit really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Well, like when you talk about plastic surgery, like South Korea, it's like always in the top three countries that get the most plastic surgery. It's like America, Brazil, and South Korea. And like all three countries do different procedures. Mm-hmm. Like, they do similar ones. They do all the same, but like in Korea, like a lot of women get their eyes done to put like a fold. Or like they'll even do like a lot of minor facial things. I shouldn't call it minor because
you shave your chin down, it's definitely.
But it looks like when they get it done, it looks very subtle. Like you don't realize that like they've
taken their bones away.
Yeah, or like they like did something to their cheeks, or they made themselves a nose bridge, stuff like that. But those are all like European aesthetics. Yeah.
Those are ancient Greek beauty standards. Like the plastic surgeons, sometimes they have to memorize some of these faces and the measurements, and they're supposed to do that on everybody else's face. Like, that's so fucked up.
Yeah. When I was growing up, my aunt would like be like, oh, when you grow up and you like lose your baby weight,
Everyone,
I'm still a baby.
I know. Yeah, when you lose your
baby
fat,
out of it. This is baby fat.
Then your face will change a little, and we'll see if we need to get your nose done, and you for sure have to get your eyes done. And sometimes my mom would agree with her.
Oh my gosh.
And
wait, has your mom had plastic surgery?
She had her eyes done. It's very common. Like, that's the only plastic surgery she's had is her eyes.
She had a fold put in? Uh-huh. Yeah.
What year was that?
Girl, I don't
like
know.
In the 70s?
Yeah, they've been doing this since, like, modern, like, medicine. Plastic surgery is, like, been around for a long time.
I just never realized that South Korea that had that culture of plastic surgery.
Yeah, because it's, like, totally. A very, like, like, your looks are really important, and it's like your status and everything.
And your skin also, right? I always see, like, when there's Asian women walking outside, they're always covered head to toe, everything.
They wear those white gloves. They don't want to get any sun on their gloves.
My mom has, like,
they don't want that brown skin.
Her nose is kind of...
You're looking really brown, Christy. I love it.
When I was growing up, I used to be so tan. People were like, are you Filipino? And I'm like, no. But my mom has, like, she's only had her eyes done, and she didn't have her nose done, but a lot of people assume she's had her nose done because she has, like, a natural slight bridge, and people be like, oh, did you get your nose done in Korea or when you came to America? And my mom's like, my nose is my nose.
That is such an Asian thing, because when I was little, my mom would rub my nose bridge, like pinch it almost, thinking that she could mold my bones.
Yeah, my mom did that to me too.
Okay, and I would always be like, why are you doing this? She's like, we're gonna help with your nose bridge, make you have a higher nose.
That's like my mom, she would slap the fat, like, on her stomach.
Someone told me growing up, like, if I, like, rolled, like, a rolling pin or, like, a wine bottle on my calves, they would be less stocky. So, like, I was, like, in seventh grade, and I tried, like, rolling, like, a rolling pin on my calves for, like, weeks. And my sister's like, thank God I have an older sister. she's like, that's not how the body works. So stop doing that.
Like, my aunt told me that to stretch your neck will help with the papada. How do you say papada?
Your double chin.
Yes.
Your jowls.
And jowls. I find myself doing it. Like, yesterday I was watching TV and I'm, like, doing this.
That probably makes it worse.
I probably. But I've been doing it.
Yes.
But I've been doing it since I was a kid. That now I'm just, like, it's a thing now. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm like.
See, that's why it pays to have little cousins. Now, I train my little cousins. Whenever we have a picture, when we take a family picture, they always pull my neck fat back, so it looks like I only have one chin. Shout out to Isai. Yeah.
But, you know, it is an art aesthetic thing, because I'm thinking, like, one of the first persons to get a nose job was Peggy Guggenheim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was one of the first people to actually get a nose.
When was that? In the 60s?
Like, in the early 20th century.
Yeah, there's, like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I never got my eyes or nose done, by the way.
But I just, you know, you, like, we're talking about this now, and a lot of the stuff we're talking about is when we were kids, but I wonder if kids still go through this, because, you know, none of us at the table have children, and I don't even really have very many younger cousins. I have a niece and a nephew, but they're too young to experience this. When my nephew says things to me, like, he'll touch my belly and ask when I'm gonna have a baby.
I always
explain to him that everyone's bodies are different.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's worse right now, because you're not only in the lens of your family, but you're with the lens of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's brutal. Media. I was thinking that, because I was watching some pictures of some teenagers yesterday, and I'm like, I cannot even imagine me being this, like, teenager that I was, like, this dumb teenager that I was, putting myself out there for everybody to see.
And a lot of these, like, teenage girls,
blonde
even
bangs. Just the bangs. That's it. The rest of my hair was brown.
Well, it looked bad. You know, that's the time to do it when you're a teenager, though.
It's a look.
Yeah. But it's like, we're like, yeah, you're always performing, especially when you're a teenager, because, like, our brains aren't fully developed for us to know, like, that doesn't matter.
And now I feel like I taught middle school for, like, a year, and that was crazy to me. Like, the, you know, there's all this talk about bullying, and I think a lot of people our age are like, oh, who cares? Like, it helps you, builds whatever. But this internet bullying is
it's crazy.
It's too much.
Yeah.
And it was, and you know, I caught these girls bullying another girl through text messaging. So what they, these girls did, and it's very common in middle school. Our friend Amy is also works as a dean at a middle school, and we talk about it all the time. Is they'll group text, you know, and talk shit about somebody in the group text, and then they'll kick them off of the group text. So it's like everybody can see. Yeah, they're really petty.
See, back in the day, we had to pass notes.
I know,
paper notes, and then you could get caught. Your name's on the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. But in the flip side, you also have a movement of people that are starting to own.
Absolutely.
Hashtag champurrado mami. You know who you are.
Yes.
And they're putting themselves out there and saying, fuck you. Like, I don't care what you think. This is my body and I love it. And I'm going to take 1,000 selfies just if I was a fucking Kardashian.
Love that. I love it too. And too. Instagram is changing that. Yeah. We follow Latinos Who Lunch Anyways follows a lot of these like
body positive, kids.
Body positive girls, mostly girls. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes the posts make me uncomfortable because I'm not used to seeing fat people so comfortable
with themselves,
with their bodies. Like there was this video I saw yesterday of a girl just like dancing in her room, like jiggling around. And I was like, okay, like that, that's awesome. Like, I will admit it was like, it took me a second and I was thinking all these negative things because that's what we've been conditioned to think.
Well, I always just wonder, like, it's not your body. So why are you so offended?
Why are you so obsessed with me?
That's
a good point.
Yeah. It's like, you don't live in this body. You have nothing to do with my body. So don't fucking worry about it. Like, let me fucking worry about it.
Aplauso y medio. Wow, for real.
It's just,
that's a great point. Yeah,
yeah. I'm like,
oh, and let's get into it. Now that we're talking about Instagram, like, there's a distinction out there between foodies and just like fat people that like to eat. Like,
oh,
like,
I didn't know that.
You know, like that Instagram, like, girls eating pizza or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I love pizza. And it's like, well, all these pictures of these skinny bitches eating pizza.
It's really interesting. I'm always curious.
It's only cute to see them eating. That's why I fucking love that channel, Eat with Chunky.
Yeah.
Yes. She's a big girl and she's beautiful.
Shout out.
And she is eating whatever the fuck she wants. Mm-hmm. And because it's like, you can only be a foodie if
you like, you are skinny and cute. Like I've always been curious about that because like there's a lot of bloggers, like lifestyle bloggers, where food is really a part of what they post, and like all of them for a while I was like following a lot, and like I'm like, there's no way in hell these women are eating all this shit that they post, or they're really going to all these restaurants and eating every single thing on their
plate.
They
do it on their cheat days.
So I like stopped following it because I was like, you know what? I need to stop looking at all this food anyway. Like I already am already food obsessed. I don't need to like propagate it. So I stopped following those people, and like I still follow some food bloggers, but they're typically more health related. So and they post their workouts, they post like their meal preps and stuff like that, and it's like, oh, they're not lying about like eating like a fucking like I don't even know, like some of these things. It's
fried
like
chicken,
it's like fried chicken waffles with like then they're eating like deep fried cheesecake and they're like a size zero, and I'm like, I know like some people have fast metabolisms, but some of these like food bloggers, I'm like, no, you are not eating all of that.
And if they are, they just throwing it back up, you know? And so then you just create this society of people who...
Well, you're just, it's like these unattainable expectations. It's like you're supposed to be able to eat at all these restaurants.
You're supposed to have your
and
cake
like,
and eat it too.
Yeah, but then you're supposed to still be like a size zero. It's really weird.
I don't follow those people. I follow... Tasty, because I'm obsessed with Tasty videos because they're so fast. They're my attention span.
But I
follow
a lot of their recipes.
A lot of plus size models.
Yes.
And when I look at them, they're smaller than me. I don't know. I don't see them as plus size. Mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody who's thin probably sees them as plus size, but I just see them as normal size.
Well, that term is problematic.
I know. It's like, well, the thing I have with, like, I'm glad there's more bodies and sizes represented in the media and fashion and stuff. Like,
there's I was like, there's like three fat people on TV, like Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
It's like Gabriel Iglesias and.
No, I just watched this new show on NBC called like,
oh, this is us. Yeah. And there's a couple characters who are big. Yeah.
And one of the girls is like in the first episode is her like naked from the back with underwear on. I was like, girl, you go.
Good.
Yeah. But my thing is like, if you are a plus size model, it's like they all still look the same. And I understand that's what models are. Like, they're supposed to fit a certain size. But like, plus size models are always like, this is how they look. They all have long necks. They still have really beautiful faces, rarely have double chins. They have really large breasts, a really small waist, and like curvy hips. Like, that's what a plus size, I'm putting quotes because like, mm-hmm. that's what plus size models are. Like, it's not like anything different. That's the same model. And they're all tall. It's like long legs, like big hips, small waist, big boobs, long neck, slim face. And that's like what Ashley Graham looks like.
But not Tess Holliday.
Tess Holliday kind of is like that aesthetic too.
She's not tall.
But she like,
I don't know.
It's like
she
that
is.
Curvy kind of look. And I hate that like term, like real women have curves. It's like just a real woman is a real woman. Like a real woman is a woman.
Like,
it's
women like are shaped like Tetris blocks.
Yeah, like yeah. I have.
Shout out Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have like, you know what?
What?
She does have long legs.
She looks great.
I I love nuts. Tetris. She's nuts. Those shoes, everything. I saw her live and it was just, I'm not going to say anything because I'm
took your breath away.
It took my breath away.
Speechless.
I'm not having the lamely come for this podcast because you do not want the lambs out for you because they are very serious about their queen.
You know, after the New Year's Eve incident, I started to do my Mariah Carey research and watched her reality show. And I'm just going to say, I fucking love Mariah Carey. That reality show was so entertaining. And she got a fan back. Like, I was like, whatever, Mariah, you can do whatever you want.
You do you.
And I'll keep buying what you're selling, whatever.
Yeah. But, like, I've always felt like I was never represented ever, like, in any type of media. Like, I'm short. I have muscular legs. I have a big belly. I'm flat-chested. I have a short neck. I have a double chin. And you don't see it.
But girl, you look good.
But yes. You look good.
You
look,
I know. Yeah. You look good. But, you know, like, they don't, like, I don't see any type of, like, vloggers, models, like, any type of, like, any plus-size model. They're all, not all of them, but most of them are really tall.
They are really tall.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't.
Start your channel.
And that's, and you know what? We were just talking to the Boys and Girls Club about
invisibility.
Invisibility and underrepresentation in the media and why outlets like YouTube are so important. Because when you said that, I just thought of like three channels that I follow with big people on there, like who aren't your typical, for example, like James St. James, who works for World of Wonder. His physique, you don't see a lot of people like him on TV. Kind of looks like Boy George. He's kind of a stocky, bald white man. And his head has no like shape. He looks like a piece of gum, right? But shout out to Kid Fury for that. But for that reference. But they found something to do with him. Like, they do this like transformations show where they transform his face. Like, a different makeup artist comes in and like really molds his face into something.
They
right?
Mold that gum.
They make that gum look fierce. Mm-hmm. But then like Eat with Chunky, like I forgot the name of the Gloria. She does that character Mama Tita. She's a big girl that has a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of a lot of really inspirational. Yes, it's harder for.
Yeah, it's not mainstream.
It's That's not mainstream, but they still get millions and millions of views.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah, but I've always felt like in between. I'm like not really like a plus size lady, but I'm not.
Neither aquí, neither allá.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. So I mean, I'm really happy that you guys came on the show.
Yes.
This was such a fun conversation.
I was so entertained. I was just like sitting there watching you two talk to each other. And I'm like, keep going. You can have your own podcast and I will listen all the time.
You can borrow equipment whenever you want.
Yes, here it is.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like we should have some sort of closing remarks, right? Like, or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the body positive movement that's going on. Mm-hmm. I wish something like that was around when I was a kid because it definitely wasn't. So hopefully teenagers will look and see people like themselves in media. And I just hope that keeps going. But you're right, with the internet and there's so many more instances to be bullied. But hopefully people love themselves. Because if you don't love yourself,
how the hell
are you going to love somebody else?
Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.
All right. And on that note, thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Muchísimas gracias. And I hope this isn't the last time you guys come on Latinos Who Lunch.
Oh, it won't.
And I was thinking about recommendations, but we talked about so many YouTube channels, and I think that's going to be it. And I'm going to put the links in our website for everybody to see those references, because there's so much out there, and hopefully you can go to the website and see that reflected there.
And our website again is latinoswholunch.com. You can send us your emails at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Make sure you go on iTunes, subscribe, and rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
I'm Fabi Fav.
Mom Babalito.
Bye.
Play that funky music.